The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
We should have Black Eyed Peas Wednesdays with Black people.
Pinto Bean Friday. Guy Tori's in the house. Make some noise. This is Dana Cortez Woo-hoo! Show. Let's go.
Guy Tori in the place to be. Got kicked out of Mama's University.
Oh,
what's happening?
Goodness. So, you know, it's interesting. We've been off mic talking for a minute, and you said, Dana, automatic. Go watch the Fat Tuesday trailer. We got to talk about my movie Fat Tuesday, please.
Yeah. Documentary.
Documentary. Yes. Watching just the trailer, I got chills just thinking about it.
Wow.
Talk about what happened in the most simplest of terms. It's a Tuesday night. You're a comedian. You're like, I got to get something popping because nothing was happening in the club. What happened?
What happened was 95. You know, I got to LA in 92. In 1995, I saw no representation in the Black community for Hollywood comedians. They weren't coming to see us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to take the hood to Hollywood. So I went to the world famous comedy store. They gave me Tuesday nights, the worst night of the week back then, to fail in a small room. And I made it pop. And some of your comedians that you go see today in movies or live in comedy clubs like Stand Up Live are in this documentary. But they came through Fat Tuesdays, from Nick Cannon to Cat Williams to... And every Cat mentioned my documentary in his, you know...
His interview.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Cat, though.
I love Cat. Cat's my guy. I had to show him some receipts because he kind of misspoke. He was a part of Fat Tuesdays. He got his agent and managers through Fat Tuesdays. So it's been this night that's a party. And
it's a launch pad.
Yeah. It was definitely a showcase for comedians, but it, also actors. Actors would come and hook up with directors, and it was Black Hollywood at its finest.
It became a network place, not only for fun and vibes, but a place that you could connect with people and get jobs.
Absolutely.
Because you talked about, well, you know, Black Hollywood, people weren't hiring people of color. There were no projects for people of color. I told you I'm Mexican-American. We still don't have nothing. But anyway, we'll talk about that another day. How do you feel
about Taco Tuesdays?
Fat Tuesdays are popping first.
I've always had Taco Tuesday, though. That's nothing new for me. Do you feel like you get the flowers? The people give the flowers
I get are the comedians coming back to do this documentary for me.
Nice.
Yes.
That's the flowers.
Because
everybody's in it.
Yeah. And the young comics who come up who see it, who's like, oh man, I got inspired. I'm gonna go start my own comedy night. So those are the flowers. I don't need pats on the back because, you know, not to get too deep, but we're servants anyway. So we're here to move things forward and keep it moving and keep it laughing.
Who do you think right now is somebody that you're watching that you think is gonna be the next? I think it's hard in comedy now. There was a moment, like my mom used to listen to albums and stuff.
I still have vinyl I listen to.
My Theo used to listen to albums of comedians, and I'm talking old school stuff. You know, who's the next one on that level? I feel like you got the Eddie Murphys, you know what I mean? You got the Chris Rocks. Poor Chris Rock.
Dave Chappelle,
obviously.
Yeah.
I like the
85 South cats, man.
Okay,
young cats. DC Young Fly is in my documentary as well, because DC Young Fly, of this generation of comedians, of that generation of comedians, he was the only one that was asking questions to the OGs. Like, some of them dismissed us, like, all that old Def Jam stuff, we don't listen to that. But DC Young Fly was always that one who was always like, hey, OG, man, you know, what's the premise? Hey, OG, man, thanks for paving the way. So, when you got comics like that who respect
where
came from, and Carlos Miller, first time I played Stand Up Live, that's in Phoenix. Carlos Miller, who's 85 South, was we worked together, and he always been just a good soul. So I like the young crew coming up.
We had Chico on, and he's probably one of the best interviews we've ever done. Yeah. It was supposed to be like
after
5
this
minutes.
It's yeah, supposed to be after, not now.
It's supposed to be like 5 minute interviews lasting 45 minutes.
Oh, I love that. I love that people want to study the game, because the game really hasn't changed. The only difference is now there's the internet, and you do have social media.
I was going to say, that changed the game, though.
It changed the game in a lot of ways, good and bad. It changed the game because for my generation, you know, we got enough. We using brain space to create jokes. Now we got to create content, too. We got that much brain space left.
But, Guy, let me say something. It's one thing to be funny for 15 seconds.
Right.
It's another to be funny for 15 minutes.
Try an hour.
Well, I mean, we do radio. We do podcasting. We do it all.
Yeah.
But radio's different than podcasting. We got to come in here every day and be funny 5 times an hour.
Yes.
All day, every day,
no
Monday through Friday, working that, you know, muscle.
Song ain't playing. You got to be able to talk
you
over
better
it.
Figure it out.
You better figure it
you
out.
Better you better be funny and entertaining. And I feel like that's comedy. You got to write. You got to be on it. Whereas social media, which is important, I utilize it every day. Got my Instagram taken away. Somebody help me.
But
anyway, yeah, wow. Really. 15 seconds of content is different than standing in front of people and engaging.
Right.
What do you think is the con of social media? What's the pro?
The con of social media is that for stand-up, a lot of these new comedians, they don't put the reps in on stage. Mm-hmm. And yeah. you got to put the reps in. You got to get on stage. Like you said, you can be fun. You got 100 takes you can do to make that sketch pretty funny. But when it comes to selling tickets and being on stage for an hour, can you sustain that? Mm. And I love what they have. I love that portal they have of being able to do crowd work and post it. But you got to put in the work, too. The pro of it is you can create your own opportunities. You don't have to wait on Hollywood anymore. You don't have to be in L.A. You don't have to be in New York. You don't have to be in Chicago. You can do your own stuff.
You can post be in Arkansas, post it.
And get discovered right from the internet. Country so that's Wayne. The beauty of it.
Country Wayne.
Country Wayne. Right a lot of them. D.C. Young Fly, Country yeah. Wayne. You know, all those guys.
So are you watching some of the Latino comedians coming up on social media? I don't know if you've seen some of them. Same thing kind of for my community.
It's happening there, too?
It yeah. really is. There's some people coming up. We got Renee Vaca. We got some other people. And well, Stand Up Live has had them in, and they sell out. Same thing. No opportunity. You got to make it yourself.
Yeah. No excuses.
No excuses. What about this movie? How did you conceptualize it? And did you think everybody's going to show up?
You know, I didn't. You know, you mean for that night? Like, when I started it, there was no social media. It's 1995 when I started.
Okay.
No social media. I'm passing out flyers. Making the flyers myself.
Yeah.
I'm in, you know,
paper
flyers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, cut and paste. Of that anymore, yeah.
Paper flyers. No social media. No money for radio. Just me and word of mouth. So I had to book, you know, comedians that could do it. So Chris Tucker, he got Fifth Element because they saw him at Fat Tuesday.
No. Oh, damn.
I auditioned too. I didn't know he was going to audition for the same part. But they saw him. They booked him there. I got American History X because they saw me at Fat Tuesdays. So a lot of opportunities came through Fat Tuesdays. So at first, I didn't know if anybody was going to show up for the first couple of weeks. And then we start turning people away. But the other thing about Fat Tuesdays that made people come was the stars that came. Like Tupac would come.
Yeah.
Tupac would always come and be in my ear about, you know, he did a movie with my brother, Carpool to Justice. He was always telling me, find my own lane, get out your brother's shadow. So that was always good. You know, Suge Knight would come, which wasn't a positive.
Wasn't always good.
Because the industry stopped coming when they heard Suge was coming. Yeah. But then, you know, you got Dr. Dre would come. But then
I saw Snoop was in the documentary. I saw in the trailer.
He was always there, man. Prince would come.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Murphy would come. Richard Pryor would come. So when you watch the doc, you'll see all these stars that came to Fat Tuesday. So for us as young comedians to perform in front of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, who are heroes.
My mom had an album from Richard Pryor.
Huh?
She had an album, a Richard Pryor album.
Oh, yeah.
Like a piece of vinyl.
That N-Word's Crazy, is that the one she had?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I know that she didn't want me to listen to it, but whatever.
Every household was like that.
Yeah.
Our household was like that.
Yeah.
I used to have this man who he watched us. He was already retired, and he loved Red Fox.
St. Louis, where I'm from.
He used to drive us around, and he used to tell us, he'd be like, you tell your parents that we listen to Red Fox, and you can't come with me no more.
Red was dirty. Red was dirty.
People didn't know that, though, because he's been television for so long.
Sanford
and Son. Family man and whatnot. Now, fast forward to the documentary. Was it hard to get people to participate, or were they ready to do it?
You know what? Here's the thing about it. I didn't get everybody I really wanted, but everybody who was in it was supposed to be in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we still got 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. We got best
that's
documentary.
That's hard to do.
I didn't even know that was a thing until somebody told me.
100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they was like, you got 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. I was like,
what?
You can Google it. but I was like, that's not, I don't know. Is that
big
good?
Deal.
They was like, yeah,
big
that's
deal.
Good. I was like, oh, okay, cool. We got best documentary of 2022 from the New York Times. We were for your consideration for the Emmys. So it's been doing really, really, really well still.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Big deal.
But that's what I'm going to do. I like telling stories. Comedians, we don't hear our stories enough. And we need to hear, especially from the black and brown community, we need to hear our stories and our struggles in stand-up.
How is it growing up with another famous person in your family, your brother? Because I got two other brothers and a sister, and we're close in age too.
Yeah.
But they don't do what I do. So
well, yeah, I know, right? And we're not even the famous ones in our family, to be honest, man. The famous ones in our family, like my big sister, who's a retired educator and a track coach, and my other brother, the one I like, and you'll understand that when you watch the documentary, who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. So those are the real heroes and stars in our family. But my brother, my whole family's funny.
Yeah.
Like everybody's cracking jokes. If you come to our house at Thanksgiving, it's like watching the clumps. It's like watching
who can top who?
It's competition.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's what the Wayans say. It's like when you go up in their house, it's like you better be ready to get roasted.
You better have thick skin.
Did you ever get into little arguments over parts of things or over different things?
No, not at all.
Never?
That's no, so good. Not at all. Because I'm like, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. It's like...
It's family.
Yes. Even if it's not family, it's friends. It's like, it's, if we... I used to call my brother sometimes. I go on an audition and call my brother Joe. And he was like, I was like, hey, man, I went in on this part. So-and-so, man, you'd be great for it. Tell your agent to get you in on it. Yeah. Same role, same part. So
because
you
figured it'd be better for him than you and whatnot.
And then you know he started
keep it in
before
the family,
me.
Keep the money in the family.
Yeah, that part too because we bought our parents
true.
A house. So
it's true.
Somebody,
it's true.
I can't support the whole family by myself.
So you need
both
to gotta
be working,
too,
bro. So that and then what my career took off a little bit. You know, he was first, and then my career kind of surpassed him in the acting and everything. So I felt a little guilty.
Oh.
So I used to go in and tank
do
auditions.
A little pull ups.
I used to tank auditions. If I knew we had the same audition, I would tank the audition and hopefully he would get it.
Did he always get it?
No.
Damn, guy.
It's funny because one time he I tanked for no reason. Man, stupid me.
Sounds like something I do for my brother, though.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Now the money's gone to somebody's family.
Right. Yeah. Somebody went to the Wayans. Went to Kevin Hart. Short, black, funny men.
Okay, so I want to ask you, and this is kind of, I don't know if this is too much, but do you think Kevin Hart is funny?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely.
I don't get it. It's just, I mean, you know what I mean? And I like him because everybody says he's a lovely person.
He's, right.
Like,
he's a very nice guy.
I don't get it. Like,
comedy is subjective.
There you go.
So it may not hit your funny bone,
and
but
I feel bad saying that because he's I've heard he's such a great person.
If that's your, hey, but I don't think I'm funny. And you got to accept that when you get into our space, radio, TV, film.
No, not everyone's going to love you.
Right.
That's it.
Right, and you got to be able to have that thick skin. And it doesn't mean that they're haters.
No.
You're just not their cup of tea. I hate when somebody say, well, I don't like so-and-so. Are you a hater? No, you're not actively trying to ruin a career. You just, that's just not your cup of tea.
I've heard he's a really good person. Are those stories true that he's giving people money to help
absolutely.
Them and things like that?
Absolutely. Wow. And opportunities. You know?
That's the best thing, though. Money, opportunity is what it is. I always say I was a hardworking single mother for many years. And there's a lot of hardworking poor people. Right. It's opportunity that changes the game.
Absolutely.
That changes your life.
And opportunity and choices, the choices you make.
I feel like you created your own opportunity. Was there?
You have to.
Was there any opportunity before you guys were doing Fat Tuesday that like got you?
I mean, the opportunities are there. It's just, do you see it? Can you notice it? And now, looking back, it wasn't even an opportunity. It was an assignment.
Oh.
And then once you understand that it's an assignment, then it's like, oh, okay, this is what it is. So if I fail, then it's not anybody else's fault but mine.
But there's no way in 95 you knew what the hell you were doing.
I didn't. That's
why
I say great.
How important it was.
Great grace of the man upstairs.
Because I'm like...
He opened doors I couldn't open because I'm telling you, I was doing comedy 3 years.
Yeah,
and what makes me think that
man,
I'm going to come
years.
To Hollywood,
and
go to the Comedy Store and create this comedy night
legendary thing
where Chappelle and Chris Rock, I mean, they weren't Chappelle and Chris Rock back then, but they were on their way. They'd already been working.
Yeah. And they were coming through.
Yeah.
They were coming through your
Eddie
night.
Murphy sitting in the audience and Magic Johnson and Prince.
You said Prince is there, yeah.
Prince came. Denzel would come. I mean, it was a who's who's Hollywood, but I also caught lightning in a bottle, too, because there was nothing else like it at the time. There was no white club in the country doing an urban night before 1995.
Right.
And Fat Tuesdays, once they saw the success of Fat Tuesdays, then the Improv and Hollywood Improv started their Monday nights. And then the Laugh Factory down the street started their Chocolate Sundays.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Fat Tuesdays kind of, and I promoted
it. It spread
them.
The branches. It was the root, and the branches just spread from there.
Exactly. And then it went throughout the country. Other white clubs started having urban nights because it was a moneymaker. They know they sold a lot of wings and a lot of Hennessy. If you run out of wings and Hennessy, you're going to be a rider in your hands in them clubs and them
nights.
What
happened to the Incredible Hulks? That's all I want to know. Remember
that
the
drink,
Incredible Drink?
Man.
What is that?
Yeah, go downtown L.A.
They're still drinking Incredible Hulks.
No, you'll see the results. You'll see Tent City. They're all sleeping in Tent City now, which I volunteer at the homeless, so I'm not cracking on the homeless.
No, me too. I do the same. We help. You got to laugh too, or you'll cry.
Absolutely.
Because it's so damn sad. Cat Williams, you know, he came out and he destroyed a lot of people in that little rant he had.
Right.
Or, I don't know, you know, he likes to say it is just unspoken truth.
Right.
How did you pull receipts on him? Like, what happened? How did you approach
him? Well, first of all, Cat Williams is a genius. People don't understand that. His IQ is 160. His IQ is 160. No, he's certifiably a genius. Mensa.
Yes.
So I've been knowing that for years.
That's why when they asked him about Connie, he's like, Connie don't know shit.
Right.
He literally, I said, what Kat, he says, no, he doesn't.
And Kat has a big heart too. He's helped so many people as well, right? Yeah. So I was thinking, why would he do something like that? Why would he come in on people like that? And I felt like it was kind of calculated because he's smart. Thinking, he was going
ahead
on tour, and everybody that he kind of like talked about were trending at the time. You know, Cedric was trending because of his TV show and his barbecue line with Anthony Anderson. Steve Harvey has a national syndicated radio show. Yep. So what do you think they talked about the next day? What do you think his rivals talked about? You know,
believe he forced everybody to talk about him in a moment he needed.
Yes. And publicity. It worked. He talked about Kanye. He was always trending. Talked about Kim Kardashian was always trending. Talked about Dave Chappelle in a good way.
Yeah.
But Dave Chappelle's special just dropped, so he was trending. Talked about Earthquake. Earthquake has a show on Kevin's network.
Kevin
was trending. Talked about Tiffany Haddish because her DUI thing was trending at the time. So what he did was, it was evil genius, but it was genius. And I felt, it's funny because when I first watched the whole interview, I felt heavy because I'm like, that's not our game. Let the rappers do that. That's not what we do.
Where's
comedians.
This beef coming from in comedy?
So I try to find a Lifetime channel, find something lighter to watch. Like, ooh, I was clutching my pearls. Like, oh.
Turned to HGTV, right?
Yeah, right. I can't turn to Hell Kitchen. That's mean, too.
So you talked to him?
Not since then, no. Mm-hmm. But I did show my receipts because he said some things that wasn't true, you know. He said that Cedric never came through Fat Tuesdays, which I had to post me bringing Cedric out on stage in 1996 at Fat Tuesdays. He said Kevin Hart never came through. I had to post Kevin Hart on stage at Fat Tuesdays in an interview Kevin did years ago about his success, his point of view of Fat Tuesdays. And we never said Tiffany Haddish came through Fat Tuesdays. As a matter of fact, in the documentary, she couldn't get in because she wasn't.
Oh,
she had a fake ID. And we knew. So we never said that.
21 year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Steve Harvey, we never said came through Fat Tuesdays as far as a comedian, but he came many times.
Just had to
post
watch.
Post those pictures. So he was just a little off on what he said, but that's still
but
my guy.
I think what you said is right. He might be a little calculated. What's the next steps for you? I mean, but let me ask something, though. I don't even know what the next step is. How have you maintained this longevity? You're talking about 95.
Yeah.
People listening weren't even born.
Right. Right, it was
seriously.
It wasn't even the phone number on the napkin that daddy wrote the mama number.
Exactly. What's the secret?
Keep laughing, keep creating, and keep recognizing things as an assignment. If you get something good and a good idea, that's an assignment. And if it don't grow, it's your God plants a seed, and it's your job to put it in proper soil, give it proper sunlight,
water
proper care, and water it.
Love
and if it doesn't work, it's your fault, because if he gave you the seed, it's your job to put in the work. So any good idea you get comes from God, and you got to, whoever you believe in, I believe in God, I'm going to claim that. But you keep watering it, and it goes. You look at it as an assignment. I mean, it's supposed to happen.
I like that. That's because, I mean, the only person that's responsible for your life is you.
Period. Exactly. No point fingers at the white man. Don't be fingers at, you know, my wife or my husband or I had these kids. No. You make those choices. So the seeds that have been planted, you find a way.
You were dealt and make it work.
And make it work. Period.
And that's what I always say. If I blamed everybody else, I'd still be living in a little bitty town. And
I have groceries on layaway if I blame anybody else.
Yeah, and on welfare. I swear to God, my high school vice principal told me to quit school. I got pregnant at 15. Just quit school. Your life's over. And I said, okay, so I did. And then I thought, but that's on him. That's
right.
How I feel.
Now, do you think he meant that on purpose, or he was trying to motivate you?
I think, no, he meant that. West Texas, racist,
oh,
Mexican.
Yeah. He meant
Mexican
that.
And apply for welfare.
Right,
and don't do
right.
it. Yeah, he meant it.
Right.
Because he thought that I was worth, and then I had to understand that's not what I'm worth.
Right.
That's what he thinks of me.
If you accepted that,
then that would have been it.
If anybody tells you anything negative about yourself, you accept it, then you believe
then you
it. You can't
them.
Accept it. Exactly.
Right. But
you can't accept it.
Your feelings on me don't matter. It's my feelings on me that matter.
Exactly. That's your poor little life that you hate.
Well, damn, I need to open up for Guy Tori. I feel like I
come
need
on. I'll give you 5 minutes on stage. Just do it.
Give me one. All right, let's give some tickets away. Stand up live all weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. And I encourage people to go watch the documentary.
The documentary, Fat Tuesday, PHAT on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
My websites are up, GuyTori.com and GTFatTuesdays.com.
I know what's up is your bank account. Jeff Bezos got that big check.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.